Season 4, Episode 1, Moby Greg. It's opening up with Greg, who is starting a diet.
Oh my god, it just seems like he's always starting a diet.
He's upset because he can't diet without a partner. That's what we've learned. So he's been hassling Sipowicz to do this with him, and he's been binging so that he has a big starting weight.
Oh yeah,
Martinez is like, what are you doing? Aren't you supposed to be on a diet? And he's like, that's a farewell donut. And the diet starts at 8:30 a.m. or something.
Yeah. Something weird. It's like everybody else in the world. They're always putting it off.
Simone is picking up something that costs $2,850, which we don't know what it is, but Sipowicz knows what it is. That's just a little tease for the rest of the episode. What could he possibly be getting that's $2,850? There's a moment where a woman walks into their precinct, and, I mean, I didn't find her extremely attractive, but when Medavoy saw her, he said out loud, holy cow, and it turns out it's Gina Colon, who is going to be going up to anti-crime, which pissed off Martinez, because clearly he wanted some of that action.
Oh yeah, he was just looking to bone zone, dude.
Well, Lesniak left, so now he needs to find the other closest woman he can hit on, apparently.
Yeah, because there just can't be a woman that works in the police department that no one hits on.
No, apparently not. When Sipowicz comes in and then tells Medavoy, I'm not starting the diet today, Medavoy. Medavoy freaks out like a fucking angry girlfriend. And then as he walks away, we introduce their new PAA, Jerry Turner. And I feel like the way they introduced her was kind of like, you could have put in a foghorn sound effect and it wouldn't have been any different.
What do you mean by that?
Because like, when she walks in, like the way Medavoy talks to her, because he just got pissed off by Sipowicz, it's like, I'm Jerry Turner, I'm your new PAA. And it was like, brrrr. Like we had a chance at, what is it, Gina Colon, and we got Jerry Turner.
Well, doesn't he make some, like, crude-ass comment? Well, if I remember correctly, he makes some kind of comment to Sipowicz, or not Sipowicz, to Greg, about how, like, anti-crime gets that good-looking girl, and we get this ugly fat girl, basically, is what he says.
Yeah, she says, we got that girl Gina, they got that girl Gina, and we got Roseanne.
And
Greg was like, what is that supposed to mean? Because she's got extra pounds, she's not allowed to be with the rest of us in human society? And, what's his name? He's like, yeah, I would never tell her to her face, Greg. And she's like, yeah, but you told it to mine. And then as he walks away, he says, I speak for all fat people.
I mean, Greg is kind of overweight, so, I mean,
yeah, but he doesn't speak for all fat people. He's only a little overweight. But it was just a weird runner for this episode, is that Greg is gaining weight. We haven't even gotten to the end of the opening, because they get a DOA for a dude that's by a bridge. They found a black man in a trunk. When they get there, Simone and Sipowicz have a conversation that basically says, yeah, he's going to propose to her tonight. Then they get to the dude, and it's pretty clear that the dude was put in a trunk and then dragged from one side of the street to the other, because they could see the drag marks.
Oh, yeah.
And Sipowicz says, so this trunk was dragged across the street so it could be in our precinct, and those humps, Bauman and Giamatti from the 13th, you could write book that they were the one who did it.
That's what I kind of like about Sipowicz sometimes, is they use this really old-timey talk with him. It's kind of interesting.
They basically give him shit going, we know you did this. And at one point, Sipowicz says, keep cracking wise and I'll put you in there with a stiff.
Well, they don't really even deny it. You know what I mean?
No, they...
Like, the guys just kind of laugh it off and I'm like, yeah, we did that shit.
And they even said, oh, wow, well, since you guys are being so mean to us, I guess we're not going to help you canvass. We're just like, what? Like,
yeah.
You got out
some
of...
crazy ass shit.
You got out of work so that you could help us work? That doesn't make any sense. I will say that they talked to the dude who found the body, because his dog sniffed out the trunk, and then when they opened it, there was a body in there. He used the phrase, "He's very agitated. My dog is very agitated." And I feel like that would be a better title for this episode. Because in some way, every single character is agitated about something.
Yeah.
We'll get into each.
Sibwitz is agitated all the time.
Simone gets agitated about this proposal that doesn't go the way he hopes.
No.
Greg. Greg gets agitated because everyone keeps calling him fat. James is agitated about the woman going to anti-crime rather than their house. It's kind of, everybody's a little agitated. So,
well, when you are fat, you know what I mean?
So before the opening ends, the guy says, "Hey, you can put on a little weight, Metavoy," and he says, "You can kiss my ass. You can give it a big ass. You can give it a big old smooch." And then it ends. But right before, there's so much in the fucking opening. Bus driver actually saw the trunk being picked up and dropped off. Like, somehow on his route, he saw where it was put in a van and that it was dropped off there.
Which is a pretty... That's a huge coincidence.
Yeah, there's really no way they could have gotten anywhere without that giant coincidence.
Yeah.
Which is probably why those two dudes dragged the trunk. They figured, this is going to be really hard. I could just give it to somebody else. Anyway, that is the opening of Moby Greg. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of NYPD Blue, and this is the theme song to NYPD Blue. When they come back, they're going to the street where the guy saw the trunk was being lifted into a van. The trunk. Did I say truck? Trunk.
It said trunk, but it just, you said it too fast, so it came out truck.
Andy is worried about...
Don't fucking do it again.
Andy's worried about Theo not fighting his colds. Because he got, like, 7 colds in 6 months. And as he's having that conversation with Simone, this gentleman comes out of, I think, a cab or the subway, or some maybe his house, and he sees them and starts running away and pulls out a gun.
Yeah, which is a really weird reaction.
Because he books it super fast and immediately pulls out a gun. Also, this gentleman is Wood Harris, who is a famous face if you're fans of, oh, I don't know, Remember the Titans or The Wire. Maybe.
What was his name again?
Wood Harris. He played Alvin Barksdale.
Oh, yeah.
And in Remember the Titans, he was one of the inspirational players of that great movie. Anyway.
Yeah. I forgot his name. He was the main black character. He was the representation of all the black characters that had to get along with the one white guy who was the representation of all the white characters.
Yep, that's right. They have a slow-motion shootout where Andy freezes up and hides.
Yeah, they had to show us that by him being friends with a white linebacker, they were friends.
Wow, that was weird. I don't know what happened, but it sped up what you just said, like, 2 times. It might be...
That shit's been happening on my end for, like, the last 10 minutes. That's why I've been, like, I wait till you complete the sentence because it stops, and then all of a sudden you're like fucking Alvin, and you say it really fast. So I have to wait.
Yeah, something's up.
To catch up.
Something's up with a connection.
Something's funky.
It might be on my side because there's somebody else using some of the Wi-Fi here. Anyway, they do a canvas of the area because that's where the trunk came from to see if anybody recognizes the guy in the trunk. And Sipowicz is across the street asking people, and Simone and Russell are asking random people in the different housing areas. And they come across a woman who knows the guy, calls him Afro, and then she calls over her son to look at the photo of Afro, and Russell mentions, that guy said he didn't know who that dude was when I talked to him. And so he responds with, oh, I didn't get a good look at it, and they're like, alright, that's cool, whatever. And they call over Sipowicz, and as he's coming over, we have another famous face, Viola Davis.
Oh, yeah, it's It's crazy.
Who is...
I remember this. She's barely in it.
She's in it for 30, 45 seconds. But Viola Davis, who, famous face if you don't know, she's in Suicide Squad, Fences, How to Get Away with Murder, The Help.
The Help.
She's been killing it. So she tells Sipowicz that that guy that they were talking to, the guy who just said, I guess I didn't get a good look at it, he was involved. I saw him carrying the trunk that Afro was found in. And Sipowicz asks for her name, and she says, that's not important. I don't want to get involved.
Yeah, she just wants to give the info and then leave.
When they go into Afro's apartment, the landlord's being quite a bitch.
Yeah.
Everything that they look at, and she's like, well, if anything's of value, it belongs to me. Afro owed me money. And they're, like, trying to get her to, like, shut the fuck up. And when... Yeah. when Sipowicz... looks in the fridge, probably the most problematic line of the episode. Sipowicz looks in the fridge, and he says, you know, I don't usually hit women, but I don't mind, because when they hit back, it really doesn't amount to much.
Oh my god. Oh, Jesus.
So he says that, Simone, it cuts to Simone's face, who gives kind of like a wry little half-laugh, and then the woman goes, he's threatening me! Which is true, kind of. He did just imply that he might hit the woman.
Yeah, and I'm not shocked that if he had to, he would smack her.
You think he would based on her just, like, talking, or if she, like, pulled some shit?
If she kept it going and started pulling some shit, I could see him losing his temper and, like, knocking her.
I mean, I would like to think that he wouldn't, but I can't really... It's weird because...
You and Dad also don't think he's racist, so...
I didn't say that he wasn't racist. Dad said he's not racist, he's prejudiced. And he doesn't have any real hatred towards people of color. He just... He doesn't think less of... I don't know what he said. I can't remember right now.
He's racist.
Anyway, they resolve to talk to Arthur at the house... Also, during this entire time, everybody takes a moment to ask if they think Andy's okay because he froze.
Oh, yeah, he froze in the shooting. That's a big part.
So, like, everyone's like, oh, do you think he's okay? Do you think he's okay? Do you think everything's fine? Do you think he's okay? And it's like, geez, man. Like, I have a question. If a dude was shooting at you in close quarters and you took a second to hide behind a wall while he was shooting, I don't really see that as... that crazy.
Yeah, but as a police officer, I think you're supposed to react a different way. You're supposed to be proactive, you know what I mean? You're not supposed to run and hide. You're supposed to take care of the situation. It seemed like he got scared and had to hide.
I think it's arguable both ways, because clearly from his perspective, he didn't do his duty. And he feels bad about that, like he didn't do his job.
Yeah.
But it's also, if you turn the corner and a guy starts shooting at you, and then you cut back in and put your body up against the wall to wait to finish him shooting, and then you were to come back out, I think that's the problem that's bad. I don't think it's bad at all that, or cowardly, that if you turn a corner and a guy starts shooting at you, so you turn back... and wait for him to stop before you make your next move. I don't find that to be cowardly. I think that's kind of smart. But then again, I'm not a police officer, and I haven't been in any shootouts or shot a gun. So I don't know how my opinions change anything.
You never shot a gun?
Nope.
Yeah, me either.
We're really bad Americans, I guess.
I'm not that bad. My racism levels are pretty high.
So they bring Arthur back to the house, and they do an interrogation, which is pretty sweet, because he's trying just to deny everything. And then when they mention, oh yeah, somebody saw you with the trunk, Arthur, so what are we going to do about that? And he says, okay, so what happened is, Afro was flashing money that he got from a check to this guy, Hector and Rodney Speck. And... then they invited themselves up to his place, and then they took him off, and then killed him, and then they asked me to help them dispose of the body. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you didn't get anything out of this, why would you help them? He's like, I thought they were going to kill me. He's like, and then he goes, and crack.
Yeah, the crack thing is so funny.
Like, why is it funny?
Because it's like, he's like, wait, they didn't give you anything for helping? He's like, nah, man, like, they just, like, I was just scared that I wanted to help them, and, like, I just needed to help them because I was afraid of what they were going to do, and they gave me crack.
Okay, I guess...
It's like, okay, so you weren't scared, just say they gave you crack, and then be like, yeah, but they had a gun, what did you want me to do? Like, I would have believed that more than...
Well, I took that scene differently a little bit, because... I think one thing that the show does kind of is it gives people a three-dimensional look at characters that usually they're like, oh, he's a cop, so he's good, or he's a criminal, so he's automatically bad. Where this guy was, he seems like a normal, I say normal, he seems like an upstanding, decent dude, because he was there with his mom, he doesn't appear to have a drug problem, he was very cooperative, and then when they caught him in his lie, he said, I was scared for my life. Please don't tell my mom that this is happening. Like, he says that over and over. And then when the crack thing comes out, he's clearly really ashamed of it. And he says again to it, he's like, please don't tell my mom about this. And I feel like what they were doing is they were saying, like, look, not all people that have a drug problem look immediately like that Les Street guy from the last episode, where, like, they're clearly fucked up and they're sick and they're, like, homeless and shitty.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy has a drug problem, but he's, like, he's keeping it together, but he still has a drug problem. Which I think was kind of a cool thing, but he also isn't a violent dude. He was just like, they called me up and they said to do this, and then they broke the handle off the trunk, so then he needed help getting it into the van, and then I just left. But the only reason I did it is because they gave me some crack, and I was afraid they would kill me. Because he said the Hector dude is crazy. He's like, I wouldn't...
Yeah, he kept saying one of them was crazy. One of them, like, just lost it. One of them was being, like, super aggressive.
Andy gets a call about Theo, and he's a little bit worried.
Well, no, aren't they worried because of, like, his cold or something?
Yeah,
he's getting, like, a bunch of colds over and over and over, like, constantly.
Yeah, and they're worried it might be the immune system thing.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to get the tests back today, so they're going to have to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he goes into the bathroom. Something I wanted to mention, he goes into the bathroom clearly to, like, look in the mirror and, like, freak out.
Yeah.
Simone gets up and he says to Russell, because they have a date that night, the date where he's going to propose, and he says, hey, you want to buff up a little bit before we go out tonight? And she goes, is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
Which is just a little funny jab there, a little funny humor with the yuck yucks. And then Simone rolls into the bathroom and Sipowicz, like, apologizes. I don't know why. But he's just like, hey, I'm sorry, don't spill anything on your shirt before you ask her, and then just bails.
Like, well, because I think he was being really short, and he's being worried, but and at the same time, I think he feels bad, because, like, Simone is going to do this big thing, and they're partners, and he hasn't even talked to him about it, or, like, showed interest.
Yeah.
So I think he felt kind of bad about it.
So when Andy gets out of the bathroom and he goes home, he's looking over Theo, and then him and Sylvia start talking, and what made me annoyed is, like, Sipowicz is, like, interrogating Sylvia about information, and then interrogating her about possibly going back to work if Theo is sick, and then when she...
But I get that, though, because he's a friggin' detective. Like, he's trying to get all the information. He's also worried about his kid. Like, I get it.
But the thing that kind of annoyed me is then she's like, look, all we can do is wait till tomorrow for the tests, and it'd be really helpful if you didn't worry me more about it. And then he says to her, well, this was you and the doctor. you decided to check this and this. And it was like, okay, don't be a dick right now. You're not allowed to, like, worry her more and more and more and then be like, well, you're the one that wanted us to make sure the baby was okay. It's like, no. Like, that's not how it works.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's just crazy. Like, I don't know. Like, he just needs to chill. Like, I don't know, like, why Sipowicz is such a baby, though. I don't get, like, everything causes him to freak out. It's weird.
And it also doesn't make any sense to me why he would just turn it on her so fast.
The next episode we can talk more about it, but yeah, it's really weird.
Simone and Russell are on their date. There's a glamour shot of the two towers, which is weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of those in the early episodes. It's kind of creepy a little bit. Since you know it was an inside job.
Okay, loose change.
Sorry, Kirk, but I've seen photos of all the beams in there cut at angles. Okay? Fire doesn't do that. Also, when you crash into a building like that, it doesn't implode from the inside down. That had to be a set-off explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be, bro. Loose change!
Loose change. Building 7. Inside job. The thing I wanted to mention, and I brought up that buffed up comment, they don't look like they're dressed up. Like, they didn't look like they didn't really work that hard to get dressed up.
No, it looks like
up.
They just left work. It's like he's like, he was done for the day and they went out.
He pulls, I mean, of all the smooth things he's done, this is the most unsmooth thing. Because he goes, I got nothing original to say, I want you to marry me. And like, he doesn't get down on one knee. He doesn't, like, say anything other than that.
Simone bows for no one.
And then she...
She basically, this is my favorite part, she basically goes, right on. And then he's like, right on, and she's like, yeah, right on, right on. And he's like, that's it, that's all I'm getting? And then she's like, give me a minute to think about it. Like, that's just literally, that's it. She's like, oh yeah, me giving you a hand job in the restaurant, me like wanting to fuck you every time we're out on the street, that's great, like let's keep it that, but nah, I'm good.
And then, because I wrote down, if your proposal leads to a very serious discussion about your life decisions, the answer is no. Like, right after it happens, she's like, well, you know, my family, and I don't really have a good, like, I haven't seen marriage work for anybody. The answer is no. Like, this whole dragging it out is, like, a terrible idea.
It's it's really, really weird.
And then she pulls some shit where she goes, can I see the ring? And I'd be like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
The ring is for the person who says yes.
Well, first of all, he's supposed to show her the ring.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But after she basically, like, stabs his heart in the middle of this public place, and then goes, oh, well, can I see that sweet-ass ring, though? Even though the answer's no right now? They come back to work, both of them. And one of my favorite parts is, like, Sipowicz is at his desk, and he's, like, giving them both a look with his glasses on. Kind of like, so...
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
And they're just going through it like nothing happened. And they try to go about their work. And they want to go interrogate Rodney, who was one of the dudes that Arthur spoke of, Rodney, Speck, and Hector. And I think before they get into the room, Andy says, so what's the deal? What happened? And he says, she wants to think about it. And he's like, ooh.
Yeah. They have this like look of like, oh shit, that's not good.
After they have the interrogation with Rodney, it's clear that him and Hector have run together for a while, I guess ripping off drug dealers and such. But he says Hector just kills people all the time. And they kind of coerce him into saying, oh, so you were in fear for your life by saying no. And the guy says, absolutely. He's like, cause so if you were afraid, then it's a different situation. And then he starts mentioning all these other people that died. And given up all these other murders.
Yeah.
And he's like, so I'm good if I mention all that and say that I was afraid to die? He's like, yeah, absolutely. And that was basically it. Like, it was a pretty short interrogation. After that, they say, well, they're going to go pick up this Hector guy. Sipowicz says, I have to go meet the doctor about Theo. Do not go without me. I guess kind of like, I'm going to prove myself to you that I'm not afraid.
Yeah, that's really what it was.
And he goes to the doctor.
He goes to the doctor, and the doctor basically tells him, your son's fine, stop being a fucking asshole. And then, like, Sipowicz is like, me? Why am I being an asshole? And then the doctor's like, well, we only did these tests because your wife insisted on it for you, for your peace of mind, because you won't leave the fuck alone, which means she has to keep bothering me about this dumb shit instead of just shutting the fuck up and realizing your kid's fine. Because then later, Sipowicz says something to her, to Sylvia, like, oh, you had the test done because of me? And she's like, Andy, you just lost your son. Of course I'm going to have the test done for you if you really wanted them. It's like, dude, chill the fuck out.
Well, the doctor even says, I wouldn't have done these tests on your baby unless... I wouldn't have done these tests on your baby as it is without the other circumstances. And he's like, what other circumstances? He's like, well, the loss of your other son. And then Sipowicz says, you a baby doctor or a psychiatrist?
Yeah. You trying to help my son or you trying to help me, asshole? It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool, bro.
One thing that was really weird, and it might just be me. The doctor at one point, as they're about to leave, he goes, enjoy your baby? Like it was a car? He's like, hey, enjoy your baby. We're like...
okay, I never really noticed that. Or like, like, it never really registered, like, hey, that might be something weird. But yeah, that is pretty awkward.
Because...
That's a weird thing to say. It's like, enjoy your baby.
Just the idea of, like, a guy going, almost like it was a sandwich. He's like, okay, we're done here. Enjoy your sandwich. But he says, enjoy your baby.
Enjoy that turkey club.
It was so weird. When Sipowicz went out for that meeting, for some weird reason, Simone brings up the marriage question at work, which is a terrible idea.
Oh my gosh.
He just is like, oh, so how long are you going to need to think about it? Which is
this
like...
This is why... This is why they don't let people who are gonna date work together.
This is why?
Well, like, this shit. Because then, like, they make the workplace awkward. If things go bad, then they're awkward at work together. And, like, Simone... Like, all NYPD Blue shows us is that men cannot handle shit. Like, they can't handle being told no when people want to get married. Sylvia has to be, like, this, like... strong person who's able to take her husband's kid's death. She takes that, and she also has to take having a baby and her newborn maybe being sick, and she's fine. Like, she's okay. She knows everything's gonna be fine. But Sipowicz can't function. Simone can't function anymore. And, like, it's really funny because you're just watching, like, these two men just fall apart, and all they were told was no, and your baby isn't sick, so grow the fuck up. And they, like, and they can't handle it. Like, they just can't handle their lives. But, like, meanwhile, Russell's trying to be, like, Russell's still trying to work and be a normal human being, and Sylvia's trying to keep her family together. Oh, yeah, and Sylvia had to hold the family together while he became a fucking alcoholic again. Like, she has to watch your ass because you're gonna go get drunk because you can't handle your life.
It's true, like, that's why Agitated is a great title of this episode, because everybody gets so fucked up over things... And then they make them worse for themselves. Like, it's not even, okay, this is an unfortunate situation, and I'm just trying to live with it. It's, this is an unfortunate situation, and I'm going to make it worse for myself.
Yeah, by, like, overreacting and just being a fucking child. Like, I don't know.
So, Sipowicz comes back from that news, and they are going to go pick up this Hector guy, and for some weird reason, they bring... It's Sipowicz, Simone... Russell, Martinez, and Medavoy, but only Sipowicz and Simone are going into the door, which I don't understand. Because they roll super deep when they're leaving the station, but Sipowicz and Simone are the only people going through the door. And when they get there, I think maybe it's because they were looking for back entrances, like if he was going to leave. But the woman says there's no second entry because of storage. So they come up to the door. Simone says, "Hey, you want in? You want to do this?" And he says, "Yeah." He opens. He kicks open the door. The guy runs for his gun.
Yeah.
Because even Hector said in his interrogation, or not Hector, Rodney said that when Hector talks about getting caught by 5-0, he says, "If they ever come for me, I'm drawing down." He rolls in, and the guy goes for his gun, and Sipowicz tackles him to the bed and hits him on the back of the head with his gun and says, "You're done." And then Hector, while Sipowicz is on top of him, says, "You didn't hide like a bitch. I could have had your ass out. I could have took your ass out." And Simone...
Yeah, he starts talking shit to Sipowicz.
And then Sipowicz says, "Sticks and stones, Hector. Now we'll see how your bones hold up." Boom. Then they take it back to the house, and Hector is sitting there talking shit. And Sipowicz looks at Simone and says, "Hey, take his cuffs off."
Well, yeah, because the guy keeps talking shit about, like, if I didn't have these cuffs on, blah, blah, blah. And so then Simone says, "Take your cuffs off," and then, or Sipowicz. And so then doesn't Simone leave? I think Simone leaves.
Well, yeah, because the guy says, "What, you going to take turns pistol whipping me then?" So then Sipowicz takes out his gun and says, "Take this out of here."
Yeah, and tells him to leave, so he leaves, and then they have a conversation. And then at the end, like, he goes, "Just remember, like, you had your cuffs off and this little bitch, like, didn't get scared," or something like that. I don't know, like, he kind of gets his comeuppance, but it's like, not really. It's not an even playing field because you're in a police station, so if this man really started to whoop your ass, he's really going to end up dead. Like, so it's really not like you're out on the streets and you ran into each other and it's fair game. It's really swayed into Sipowicz's favor.
Well, that,
and that's why it gives Sipowicz confidence. Sorry.
Well, what he did was, as soon as Simone leaves, he goes and gets the key to the window and he opens the window, which leads to the street. And then he goes to him. He's like, "Get up." And the guy's like, "Oh, what? Well, what is this about?" He's like, "I'm giving you a shot at the window. I'm between you and a way out of here." He's like, "So move me." And then the guy's like, "Oh yeah, like they're gonna let me leave. They're gonna shoot my ass." And he's like,
"Yeah."
And then he says, "All I know is that this bitch gave you a shot to go out to get away, and you didn't do anything but sit here." And then the guy goes, "I want a lawyer. Where's my lawyer?" And then he's like, "Oh, you want a lawyer now?"
And I get what they're trying to prove, but, like, if you break it down, Sipowicz has... They're in the station house. If the dude does run, even if Sipowicz says, "Hey, let him go," they can't just let him go. He's a fucking murder... He's a suspect in a murder case. Like, they're gonna go after him, and they're gonna use any form necessary to take him down. Like, I don't know. It's just such a baby move.
Well, yeah.
Like, what would have been real is if, like, Sipowicz and Simone had him in, like, the car, and they were taking him into the house, and they took, like, a detour, and they went to, like, an enclosed area, and Sipowicz takes him out of the cuffs, then they go into, like, a park somewhere where no one can see, and he goes, "Let's go," and they, like, have a fist fight. Then that's fair, somewhat, but, like, I don't know. Doing it in the house is such a cop-out.
He does take time to, like, dress him down and then gets his lawyer, but, I understand what you're saying. It was more for Sipowicz than it was for, like, anything else. And after that, Greg weighs himself.
Yeah.
And he freaks out and he says, "I'm 196 pounds at 5'7".
I didn't know Greg was that short.
Yeah, that's a pretty short dude. And Sipowicz, because Greg is still bitching and whining, he says, "Here's what we'll do, Greg. We'll start tomorrow. It'll be 7 pounds a month, or $200 to the other kid's college fund, and $250 overall to whoever loses the most weight." And then Greg...
So those guys, do they make that kind of money that they can just be throwing around money like that?
Well, I think $200 is only if you don't get 7 pounds a month, is what I think it means. And then 250 is really the overall score, like, winner. I think that's what it means. I could be wrong. But he, as he leaves, Sipowicz says, "Hey, we gotta send a hello to those assholes in the 13th. And then he talks to Simone again about the proposal, and Simone's like, "I really don't know what it means, man." And, like, he's kind of just agitated and fucking tired of the nonsense. Then, out of nowhere, a gentleman named Henry Caulfield, played by Willie Garson from Sex and the City, and he was in one of the Jackass movies, and he's been in a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
He rolls in, and he's pissed off at Simone.
Yeah.
Because Simone was left a building that belonged to Henry Caulfield's mother. Because the woman, I guess, was the aunt of Simone's ex-wife.
Yes.
And this guy is, like, he is such a cock from the moment he enters the story.
Yeah. He's crazy.
He's like, you need to do the right thing and give me the building. It's my livelihood at stake here. I was planning on that building, and now I'm screwed. And if you don't do it, you're ruining my life. And Simone doesn't have any idea what he's even talking about.
Yeah, and he comes into the, past the little door thing, you know? Like, he comes, and he, like, gets in Simone's face, and Simone's kind of like, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
And it leads to the question, like, after that first meeting, like, why would I ever want to help you?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not even, I don't even know what you're talking about, but once I do figure out what you're talking about, why do I want to help you in any way? You're a dick.
Yeah, you're an asshole.
Because that's just basically setting up some foreshadowing that this character is going to be around, and the story of this building is going to be a big deal. Medavoy, I don't know, I didn't understand this at all. Medavoy's looking around the station house, and apparently there's some workout equipment.
Yeah, that they got from a drug dealer's house or something.
Which I didn't know you could just use evidence that's...
Oh, yeah, dude, if you see stuff, this is what's crazy. Like, so, like, let's say... Okay, Kirk, so let's say you, back in the day before California legalized weed, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you were in your car, and you got pulled over, and you had weed in your car. They could seize your car because it had weed in it. And mm-hmm. It was part of a crime, so they could take your car and sell it, make money off of it, and the money goes back to the police department that seized it. So there's all these stories. So, like, when you seize, like, a drug bust in someone's house, you can seize everything inside the apartment or the mm-hmm. house. So they took all that. So, like, there's shit that you read where someone got pulled over for, like, buying weed and then, like, drove away. But because the vehicle was used to buy weed, they could take the vehicle. So there's, like, all these instances of police departments just taking people's cars and transportation and then selling it, and then the money goes back into the police department. That's why when you go to, like, cop auctions and shit, you can get cars for somewhat cheap. A lot of them are part of drug busts or drug deals, and you can get that shit that way.
Well, yeah, and I understand that, but I didn't think you could use that equipment personally. I didn't think
they're not using it personally. They are using it instead of selling it. The police department is reusing it in a different way and made a workout space because it is now legally theirs. They can do whatever they want with it.
Because, like, they're using it.
You can't give it to Medavoy and let him take it home.
When he goes down there, there's a woman on the Stairmaster who is... Her name is Abby Sullivan.
Yeah, she's not Annie, the one who just disappeared.
And Abby Sullivan is played by Paige Turco, who, famous face, was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, Turtles in Time.
Oh, that's right, she was April.
She was the second April O'Neil in the live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. She is intrigued by Medavoy? Who was looking... I don't understand why she would be interested in him at all.
Well, because I think she finds him kind of like... Like, she doesn't find him threatening. You know what I mean? I don't know. He's just not a threatening dude. And he's kind of a dork. And so I think she finds that endearing. Like, she's not... He, like... Because if you think about it, like... Think about all the cops that we see go through there, like, minus Simone, because for some reason he's, like, a god. But they're all very bro-y and very, like, douchebaggish. And so I think, like, she looked, saw him, and was like, oh, man, a cop who's not a dick.
I mean, yeah, that's a good point. After that, there's a scene with Simone and Russell at their place where they just have another fight about the proposal.
Yeah.
Because she says something to the effect of, you're not supposed to make big life decisions after only a little while of being sober. And he's like, it's been 18 months.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, he does not give a fuck about the AA steps.
Well, when, because here's the deal. She says, you're not supposed to make big decisions when you're recently sober. And he's like, you've been sober for like a year and a half. And then she said, well, I thought about having a couple of drinks just thinking about this. And he's like, oh, well, I guess that's the Trump card, which he has a point. Like, what is he supposed to say after that?
He's supposed to go, I respect it. I understand what you're going through, and let's try to make it work.
No.
If he wants to marry this girl, he has to understand that she's an addict and that he needs to work with her on it.
I understand that this is going to make me sound weird and like a dick, but in the process of an argument, because it kind of went to an argument quick, when you say something like, well, I thought about having a drink just thinking about this, what you're basically saying is, my problems are bigger than your problems, so now you don't have an argument.
He is only thinking about he wants her to say yes. He's not thinking about anything else. That makes him a bigger dick than her.
I disagree with you. It's fine.
That's fine. But that, like, if she would have said yes, and then let's say like 3 days later she started drinking, and she was like, well, it's because I'm really nervous about this, this, and this, he would lose his mind. And he would, like, it would become an argument and become a thing. At least she's thinking it out and being thoughtful about the process.
See, I agree with you there, but that's the thing. That is the actual thing happening, which is because of his proposal, she started drinking. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about now in the process of an argument or discussion that's leading to an argument. He says, because he said something like, because he's on the phone with the lawyer, and he's like, apparently I have a building now. And she's like, wow. And he's like, I wouldn't get too excited. There's a note on it, which I guess is like refinancing or mortgage or whatever. And she's like, oh man, I thought you were rich. He's like, oh, would that bump me up?
Well, see, that right there, that's just as bad as her saying, thinking about this has made me want to drink a couple of times.
It's not as bad, because his was a sarcastic little jab.
No, and then, his was petty. His was petty as fuck.
This is like
he was petty as fuck. Wait till later, because there's also the times when I think, is this when they're sitting at home?
They have two different ones, this episode and the next episode, with basically the same.
Yeah, the next
episode
is when they're sitting at home. Yeah, the same thing. He's being petty as fuck. Like, he's being such a petty little bitch.
Okay.
He's being so petty.
See, fine. You're right. But I think what he did was, he's like, okay, we haven't talked about it all day. Obviously, it's a big deal. I put myself out there, and you didn't even give me an answer. And then he's like, so where are we at now? Does that push me up in the list? She goes, well, no. I mean, I gotta think about, I've been spending more time with this, so I shouldn't make it. She keeps making excuses for why she can't make the decision, yes or no. And then she brings out that big one, and he's like, oh, great, well, now I can't even argue with you. Because if I do that, I'm a monster.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, he has to realize, yeah, he can't argue about it. This is a sensitive process that she needs to be at a certain spot before she can make such a big decision.
All I know is she has an opportunity.
And then I think at one part, in one of the arguments, he makes some, like, offhand comment about, like, her being supportive of her family. But he says it in a way that's, like, very douchey, where he's like, well, you're over there taking care of your family, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, fuck you, dude. Yeah, my mom just killed my dad. Of course, I'm
she didn't just kill her dad. That was months and months ago.
Okay,
it didn't just
that
happen.
Go fuck yourself. You know how difficult... God, I hate you.
This is like...
You have a lot of experience in people killing other people, and that, the trauma they have to deal with. Also living in an abusive household where, like, he fucking beat on him and, like, was weird to Diane. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck you. Fuck you.
The episode
ends.
I have to leave
soon for work, so let's wrap this up.
The episode ends with Andy's watching over the baby, and Sylvia comes in behind him and talks to him. And then she asks the question, do you remember making love?
You're probably the person who thinks Andy's super supportive and Sylvia doesn't support anybody.
No, Sylvia's that's not what's happening.
Because she wants to work, and then she doesn't want to work, and then she wants to go back to work, and then she doesn't want to work. She wants to be with Theo. She doesn't want to be with Theo. But, you know, Andy's the cool guy. Even though he ran out for like a month to get drunk the whole time. Yeah, but his son died. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
This is a different. This is a completely different situation.
Get the fuck out. Dave Coulier style. Cut it out.
Andy is looking over the baby and then goes over what happened that day. And Sylvia comes up behind him and he like lets her know, like, I froze. I was worried about dying, but now I'm gonna lose some weight. I'm gonna be better. And then she goes, remember making love, and takes off her. I don't know if you noticed this. The way she was sitting was like the most uncomfortable.
Wasn't it fucking weird? Wasn't it weird as fuck?
It was. Like, it was so they could cover up her boobs, but still show.
At the same time, shows a little bit of ass.
So it's impossible to describe. You have to get Hulu or Amazon and watch the end scene of Moby Greg to understand what I'm saying. But she's sitting in the most uncomfortable way possible so she could be naked, hugging Andy Sipowicz to cover up her breasts, and then a small bit of blanket covers up the bottom half of her ass, so you see ass, but no asshole or the bottom half of the crack. It's the most insane staging of a human body I've ever seen. So they could show nudity, but not really.
Yeah, it's really fucking weird.
And Sipowicz says, well, don't you think he'll wake up? And she says, well, don't beat your chest and do your jungle yell. Which made me wonder, does Andy do that every time he comes?
Yeah.
Like, is Andy Sipowicz's thing, like, after I get done with the lady, I gotta do a Tarzan or a George of the Jungle?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
Anything on this episode before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think we learned that you're gonna be a horrible partner to somebody.
One thing we didn't mention in the episode, at one point James sees Gina again on the steps.
Yeah.
And he goes out of his way to mention that Jerry, his PAA, is heavy set.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Why did he do that? Like, why?
And it's like, it's like, James, this isn't season one. Like, you're fat now. Like, in season one, you were, like, flying, you were climbing fences and shit, and now you don't. You're a fat motherfucker. Like, that's okay, but, like, come on. So unbelievable.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com or where you find a podcast. You can find us on Twitter, AsherBrosPod, Instagram, AsherBrothersPodcast. You can talk to us about the episodes that are coming up, and we'll mention them in the episode or at the end of the episode. Watch more NYPD Blue. It's on Hulu and it's on Amazon. That's two different places you can get it and watch every single episode of the best show.
Two different places.
Two different ones. Amazon got rid of it and then Hulu put it up and then they put it up real quick. So I think they realized what they were doing. Anyway, NYPD Blue Balls, have a good one. Watch more NYPD Blue. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. There's no reason to make them unless someone's listening, so thank you. Please, if you have a moment, go rate and review the show wherever you're listening to it. That helps it get seen, and maybe more people will hear the show and maybe watch more NYPD Blue. Recommend the show to a friend. It's on Hulu. It's on Amazon. I recommended it to a friend of mine, and then he ended up on the show because he's binging it. If you have your own thoughts about the episodes we're going to do,
We've already recorded a couple episodes into season 4, but we can put your thoughts into the end of the episode or talk about your thoughts in the episode. Just let us know. If you need more NYPD Blue in your life, there's True Blue, a book written about the first couple seasons by the creators of the show. There's also Gene Kendall's book, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, which is 99 cents. That's a fifth of a cup of coffee these days. So if you need more info on that, you can check out those books. Anyway, keep watching NYPD Blue and listening to NYPD Blue Balls.